Democrat of the day, Deborah Hillstrom, who many people might recognize as representative from 40B. She has been in the Minnesota House for a long time, since 2000. Nine terms there. Nicely done.
Thank you.
And she, earlier this year, when Lori Swanson was still up in the air on whether or not she was going to be running, you had actually said, I'm going to run as long as Lori Swanson doesn't run. So you actually have probably had the longest of the current campaigns that are going. You probably had been the longest because you were kind of anticipating maybe Lori Swanson not being there.
Yeah, so I had gotten in at the end of the legislative session last year, started traveling the state asking Minnesotans if they'd consider supporting me to be the next attorney general if the position was open. Ultimately, then the position wasn't open, but now the position is. So I'm running to be the next attorney general.
Talk a little bit about your feeling. We go into this convention, and whether or not you feel as if the convention results are the grand sign of democracy or a sign of the problem with the convention process is irrelevant. Matt Pelican is the endorsed candidate from the convention. Lori Swanson withdraws. You are not the only one who at that point said, wait a minute here, this is an open seat at this point. We're going to not, just take the convention at its word and go forward. Talk about what was going through your mind, your timeline and your reaction as you saw what happened in Rochester.
So I was in Rochester, as soon as the withdrawal happened and Matt Pelican was endorsed, I left the convention. I knew something was up. I was uncertain as to what it was, so I went home and started paying attention just like everyone else to see what was happening. I had conversations with my family, made it very clear early on that if the position was open, I was going to run to be the next attorney general. My family still agreed that that was the plan, and so we waited. As soon as we knew, I got back in the race.
And amongst other people as well, it became a much more of a crowded field fairly quickly here. And we're heading for a primary coming up here on August 14th. And by the way, in the early voting, we've already had the early voting. When does the early voting end?
So you can early vote right up until election
day.
It's just right now it's more like an absentee balloting, but you actually physically go into the county location, you pick up your ballot, and you can leave it right there. But you can absentee ballot right up until election day, and then election day folks can vote at their regular polling location.
Oh, beautiful. All right, there you go. Information you can use. We'll get to what you've been campaigning on, and then the choice that people have to make on the DFL side here in a little bit. But let's go back to the basics. Who exactly is Deb Hillstrom?
So I've served in the Minnesota House for the last 18 years. I've worked on issues of public safety and consumer protection. I've worked with this attorney general and the previous one, protecting Minnesotans, whether it's from financial scams or whether it's protecting vulnerable adults, protecting veterans. I went to law school while serving in the legislature, became a lawyer, and then became a prosecutor for the Anoka County Attorney's Office. So I prosecuted cases of financial exploitation of adults in later life, abuse, neglect. Did some misdemeanor domestic assault cases, and then by the time I was leaving was doing some felony domestic assault cases. I want to use the skills that I learned both at the Capitol and as a prosecutor to fight for Minnesotans. They need a strong consumer advocate, and I'm the only one that's both written the laws and defended them in the courtroom.
I was just about to bring that up. I mean, that's an interesting perspective that you bring to this in that you've got – all this experience in the Minnesota House, and then on top of it, the legal system. And talk about let's talk a little bit more about your experience in the judicial realm here, because I mean, obviously, that must have become a bit of an eye opener, considering how quickly you were to jump into the potentially jump in the AG's race a while back.
Given that I was also the chair of the Judiciary Committee while serving in the legislature, I both funded the judiciary, funded the public defenders, looked for alternatives to incarceration, and then, of course, prosecuted in the courtroom. So I think I'm the only one in the race that's actually argued a case before the Minnesota Supreme Court, and I've done a grand jury case. So I think I'm the only one on those.
And do you feel as if – talk about how that opened your eyes when you – that's very impressive, by the way. Nice resume. When you're looking at the court, the legal system as we have it here, because a lot of people, they don't quite know what to think about it. And I mean, you've seen it from base prosecution to Supreme Court cases, grand jury cases. You've really gone through the entire gamut of the judicial side of things. I mean, it must it must be interesting because there you really must see how the whole system does work.
I have. And, you know, we've looked for alternatives and other ways to deal with things. So, for example, I carried legislation to create these specialty courts, right? So veterans courts, domestic violence courts, DWI courts, kind of the alternative wraparound kinds of courts. The county that I was in was the first county in the country to do a pre-charge diversion for felony drug charges and a low-level felony thefts. And so I've actually seen how you can actually distinguish between those that we're mad at and those that we're afraid of. And so I'd like to use the skills that I learned both in the legislature and in the courtroom to bring justice for all Minnesotans.
Let's talk a little bit about, you know, where you want to go. Because, I mean, part of the AG's role is reactionary. You know, problems, issues come up. But you can't help but bring in issues that you would like to look further into and determine if there's a potential that you could do some things with. What are some of those issues that are near and dear to your heart that as the AG you would want to address?
So some of the ones that are on the top of mind from Minnesotans that we've been traveling all across the state, they've been bringing up. One is this opioid epidemic. Mm-hmm. Pharmaceutical companies lied to Minnesotans. Doctors overprescribed pharmaceuticals, opioids, and people got addicted, and now they're overdosing and dying. And pharmaceutical companies need to be held accountable for the damage that they've done. I tried to do that in the legislature through legislation, the penny a pill, and making pharmaceutical companies actually pay for the damage. That didn't pass and become law, so I'd like to do that in the courtroom and sue the pharmaceutical companies to pay. Other states are doing it, and we should too. Pharmaceutical companies have also – there's 20 lawsuits going on right now in Minnesota against generic drug companies that have been price-fixing and making it so Minnesotans can't afford their medication. They literally were texting each other to say, hey, we're going to raise our prices. Are you going to raise your prices? Let's all raise our prices. And then they raise their prices, making medications unavailable and unaffordable to Minnesotans. 20 lawsuits right now pending here in Minnesota. I'll continue that. Minnesotans need to have access to the medications they need, and you shouldn't have these big organizations being able to put profits over Minnesotans. We now have a new focus on the environment. We're seeing every day, and with the 3M lawsuit success, mm-hmm. there is money to clean up the water. We know that polluters should pay for the damage that they've done in Minnesota. And so I would expect that I will bring more of those kinds of cases as well. You have to, of course, make the case. You have to build a case. But mostly Minnesotans are calling the Attorney General's office every day for assistance, mm-hmm. Whether it's on housing or healthcare companies that aren't paying for a medical bill or needing a medical procedure that insurance companies are refusing to pay for. They need an advocate in the Attorney General's office to help them deal with those everyday issues too.
You get a lot of calls. I mean, the AG's office gets a lot of calls. I always say the Secretary of State gets calls and the auditor gets calls. But those calls are generally not as – you know, you have more – these very pressing issues that come in. I'm going to take one of the issues you just talked about and I want to put out a counterpoint to you because it's very interesting. I just had hernia surgery a week ago and – when you talk about the opiate crisis, and I agree wholeheartedly, absolutely, there's zero disagreement with me with what you just said about the pharmaceutical companies. They pushed legalized heroin on the American people, and they should all be held – and they knew it too, and they all should be held accountable. When you go through a kid having a high school sports drug, you know, policy before the summer sports or the spring sports or the fall sports, they all say the same thing. You know, they do the drug talk. Used to be they talked about, you know, maybe crack or, you know, marijuana. 75% of the sports talk, I have kids in high school, is about opiates. And they say if you get hurt on the field, tell your doctor to not give you the opiates. I just had this surgery. When I went to the hospital, I said, can I have something else besides opiates? And they looked at me like, why wouldn't you want these? You're a pusher now. Stop it. And you want to know the truth is they never gave me another option. I ended up and trust me, my wife and I got home and was like, okay, the soonest I can cut off these things, I'm going to. There is a level of culpability that I think we have to look at the prescribers of this, that we know this is bad. We know this is horrible. Where is that line? When you're someone that's looking to do the prosecution, clearly the pharmaceutical companies need to be bearing the brunt of the blame. But shouldn't we have standards that say, you know, this is not something we should have being pushed on people that are getting surgeries or having a sports injury or something like this? We should, if someone says, I don't want an opiate, that the last thing that the person should say is, no, you need to take them.
Yeah, so in Minnesota, the number one overprescriber up until the law was changed were dentists. And so sometimes, really? Sometimes it's just about educating and setting some good standards. So there is currently a committee in place that's reviewing what are best practices related to opioids, and so that there can be best practices, because there's a difference between being a misinformed or actually have it been lied to by a pharmaceutical company about the addictiveness of it.
Yes.
And what best practices are. And so we want to distinguish between who are the pill mill doctors and the doctors that are just pushing these out the door and really pill milling, and the ones that are just needing the standards to be put in place. But for the most part, it really was the pharmaceutical companies who lied to Minnesotans and lied to doctors about this addictiveness. And that's where we need to go on this issue. But it becomes so much more. It's become so much bigger, right, with access to health care, because if you actually can't even get in to see a doctor for issues that you have, if you are actually not able to get the medical – the payments paid by your insurance company for the procedures that you need – that, too, causes people to seek other alternatives, right? I just won't get it fixed. I will deal with it with a pain medication instead of actually fixing it. You should be able to get medical care. You should actually be able to see a doctor without having to file bankruptcy.
And I love how you just sort of said that. You know, the pharmaceuticals is an umbrella. You have to kind of treat the prescribers in more of an individual, we're going to make an example out of these. You know, whether it's a education – you know, okay, this just is an industry that doesn't understand what they're doing versus the person that might be breaking the law intentionally. And then you have to make that, you know, trying to make an example of that and say, you know, there are consequences of this action. I think absolutely agree wholeheartedly with that concept. You've been out on the road, and by the way, I commend you. Getting out in the outstate Minnesota, this is where these campaigns are won in outstate Minnesota, hands down, 100%. What are some issues that have come to light that the AG's office will have to address that you've become aware of as you've traveled out in outstate Minnesota?
Well, so in addition to people talking a lot about the opioid epidemic, as you're seeing, we've had floods now in some areas. Yeah. So farmers are having new issues. You've had you're seeing that folks are worried about scammers coming in as – you know, as you need people to help you, right, taking down trees or fixing up properties, right, you have new people coming in saying, oh, don't worry, I can sell you this product or I can do this thing for you. It's not really a new problem. It's just a new area that's going to see it. And you're also seeing now an increase in the number of scams that people are doing, and they're more targeting our seniors more than ever. Mm-hmm. For the first time, our seniors actually have – they have a retirement maybe. They have Social Security. They have their house. And so scammers are taking the opportunity right now to say, I'm going to go where they think the money is, the easy targets. You know, I prosecuted cases of financial exploitation, right? People come in, they isolate that person from their family. They, in one case, they actually sold their house right out from underneath them.
Wow.
So we need to make certain that we have the tools there. Now, also, you're seeing that as companies get bigger and bigger, you're seeing that there's a more nationalization, right? The pharmaceutical company lawsuits, those are national lawsuits now because it isn't just Minnesota, but it's all across the country. And it's not just Democrats suing, it's Democrats and Republicans. So those are just some of the new issues that we're talking about and hearing about.
Well, and you're part of your district was hit by the tornadoes a few years ago. And they, I know they had a lot of scammer issues. They just come in like, you know, like droves. And it's something that you – it's not just – it's not one region of the city – is the country – rather the state. It's not one region of the state. It's not one economic group. It is – they're trying to take your money and try to get away with it. And they try to strike as fast as they can because they know that the attorney generals generally in most states are trying to crack down on that as quickly as possible.
They are. And so – and sometimes you have companies, bigger companies who market and say – like CenturyLink, right? Come and sign up with me. I'll charge you X number of dollars. And then they charge more. And then you end up with these big suits where the state goes after them and says, you know, you broke the law. You can't sell one thing and deliver another.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to touch on something you just said about the role of the attorney general in a state to battle the federal government and where that lies. Deb Hillstrom joining us right now. She is one of the DFL candidates running for the attorney general's position. She's in studio with us, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Burger Mo's gorgeous patio is open for the season. Enjoy nightly happy hours, more than 60 beers on tap, and the weather while you watch your favorite game on the outdoor screen. And don't miss live music Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. Offering 20 fresh, never frozen burger varieties, Burger Mo's also offers delicious appetizers, soups, salads, as well as unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Burger Mo's is located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul with plenty of free parking and online at burgermo's.com.
Warning, stand-up records may cause intestinal distress, fits of insane laughter, instant diarrhea, existential malaise, headaches, nausea, dizziness, vomiting, seasonal affective disorder, more headaches, pneumomono ultramicroscopic silicovolcanoconiosis. Stand-up records should not be handled by women who are pregnant, may become pregnant, have ever been pregnant, or personally know anyone who has been pregnant. Do not consult your doctor if he's operating heavy machinery. Stand-up records is for external application only. And stand-up records is, of course, good for a few laughs. So remember that standuprecords.com for the world's finest comedy CDs, DVDs, and merchandise. That's standuprecords.com. The revolution will be hilarious.
I'm John Peterson, and at Ferndale Market, we are proud to provide our free-range turkey to local restaurants and natural food stores. One of our partners since the beginning has been Birchwood Cafe, and we're excited to announce a new partnership product, the Birchwood Turkey Burger Patty. Made from their popular turkey burger recipe, using our antibiotic-free turkey and Birchwood's local and organic ingredients. Put an end to bland turkey burgers. Find this and all our Ferndale turkey products at your local co-op or natural food store. Visit ferndalemarket.com.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. Even though Auto Technical is a small nonprofit, we have helped more families with transportation than any organization in Minnesota. Since 94, we have reconditioned donated vehicles so they have a higher tax benefit. Call Richard at 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526 or autotech.org.
Tom Hartman here, letting you know how you can go solar with All Energy Solar, even way up north in Minnesota. Lots of people ask them, isn't Minnesota too cloudy for solar? No. The truth? For one thing, Minneapolis gets nearly as much sun each year as Houston, Texas. But it isn't just about how much sun you get. It's also about having access to great local incentive programs that make solar affordable. Learn what your options are to save with solar and visit allenergysolar.com today.
Progressive Voice of Minnesota, it's the Matt McNeil Show. Deborah Hillstrom is running for the DFL nomination for Attorney General. Once again, primary day is August 14th, 952-946-6205, and she is in studio with us right now. You had mentioned when we were talking about lawsuits that the state AGs across the country team up. This is not a individual party issue, that this is Republicans, Democrats often team up to fight against the federal government. I think one that doesn't affect us, but one that's very clear right now, the legalization of marijuana. They've basically the attorney generals of a wide variety of states are all lining up and saying, you know, this is making us money. We're not going to go back on it. And as much as Jeff Sessions is trying to push down on them, they're pushing back. Talk about that role, the role of a state attorney general when it comes to fighting the federal government.
So the job of the attorney general is to take on folks who are seriously and persistently violating the law, no matter who they are. So whether that is the Secretary of Education, whether that's the president, whether that's a company or a nonprofit, that's the job. And so what you're seeing now is that Minnesotans, for example, you know, signed a bunch of student loans,
yeah,
right? And then all of a sudden the federal government decided they were going to change the rules about the student loans that you already had and that you already signed, and they were going to take away some of your protections. So that's a problem for Minnesotans. We had a contract. We made some agreements. And you shouldn't be able to just wave a magic wand and change the rules. So there's a federal lawsuit that's going on about that, right? Suing the Secretary of Education, saying, nope, Minnesotans are entitled to those protections. You're seeing that Minnesota joined the lawsuit about the children that were being separated from their families at the border. So some said, you know, why would Minnesota care about what's happening at the border? Well, one, it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But two, yes, two of the children came to Minnesota. So they were here.
Yeah.
And so those are Minnesotans. And also the federal government was considering housing folks from the border here in Minnesota, two of the facilities that we have here. So very relevant to what's happening in Minnesota, Minnesotans. It was the right thing to do, and Minnesota had a reason to do it. So there's about 130 lawyers in the Minnesota Attorney General's office. And the Attorney General represents about 130 boards or about 100 boards and agencies. So you have to make certain that you bring the lawsuits that best represent Minnesotans and help them. So whether it's taking on the president, taking on the Secretary of Education, or taking on someone like a polluter, you have to make sure that you wisely use the resources, because the majority of people that call the Minnesota Attorney General's office, their issue might not make the national news. Mm-hmm. But it might be the most important issue in their life. It determines whether or not they get to keep their housing, whether or not they have access to health care, whether or not their bill gets paid, whether they have to file bankruptcy. And so you need to make sure that you are being thoughtful and that you're being strategic in which suits you join, because you only have a small amount of resources, right? 130 lawyers.
The Southwest Light Rail Line, federal government transportation, they basically, if Trump all of a sudden tries to redo this, I mean, a lot of individuals went out on the line and got the money from the Minnesota side for that line. That would be a prime example of that if the federal government doesn't come with the transportation funds that were promised, that basically the attorney general will then have an option of saying, no, you promised this. You can't just change the rules.
So that's what's happening also with healthcare, right, with Obamacare. Some people like to call it the Minnesota Care Act, you know, all sorts of different names for basically insurance. You know, when the federal government decided they were not going to bring the money that they promised us, the Minnesota attorney general sues. And says, no, you made this promise. You made this commitment to Minnesota. We're spending the money, and now you got to pay. And if you aren't, we're going to sue you. You can't break a contract, you know, if you're a private company. And sometimes the federal government can't break those contracts either.
Well, they should not be able to. I mean, it's Pawlenty did that when he did his whole thing. It was like, I didn't raise the taxes. I just didn't give the money to the counties and municipalities like I said I was going to, which then, because they had contracts, forced them to raise their taxes. And that was it was a gimme. Now, you know, unfortunately, we did not have localized attorney generals that could have gone after the governor, but we actually now have a situation where we don't want that to happen. And I'm glad you understand that as far as that element goes, because let's face it, there's going to be a lot of fights we're going to have to fight against the federal government because he's just kind of incompetent. I don't know if you've kept aware of the guy. He seems to make some poor choices. I'm just saying.
So, but you need to be serious and thoughtful about where you bring lawsuits. Because, for example, Minnesota is part of the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals. That is the most conservative court in the country. So if you bring a federal case here in Minnesota and you win and then it goes to the Court of Appeals and you lose, you may set a bad precedent for the rest of the country. Mm-hmm. You want to make certain that you are joining cases potentially in Washington and Hawaii and Massachusetts because those don't have such a conservative court of appeals. Now, the other is we, of course, have to stop the appointment of the Supreme Court justice. But in the event that Donald Trump is successful in controlling the United States Supreme Court, you're going to want to make different choices about which cases you bring and where you bring them. You may want to bring more state cases because if you don't have an issue before the United States Supreme Court, they can't make a bad ruling. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be about being thoughtful, being strategic, and using your resources wisely to protect Minnesotans.
And by the way, quick side note, this is why you vote. Vote, for goodness sakes. It's not like we didn't know this in 2016. We sure know this now, so get out and vote. Speaking of voting, once again, the primary coming up here. Matt Pelican is the DFL official endorsed candidate. Keith Ellison made big news by jumping from the U.S. House race into this race. Mike Rothman, Tom Foley, yourself. Once again, you were, I believe, well before everyone else has gotten the contemplation of this. We want to make sure we point out as well your website. Oh, which is debhilstrom.com, right?
Deborah. D-E-B-R-A, Hilstrom, H-I-L-1-L-S-T-R-O-M-M-N.com.
All right. D-E-B-R-A-H-I-L-S-T-R-O-M.
M-N.com.
M-N.com. There you go. We want people to get out there. You are – we talk a lot. Yesterday, nice man, Michael Northbird from 2A, running for the House seat up in 2A. You know, when he's running, he's looking for, you know, minor volunteers there. You are looking at a statewide race, a primary, also kind of cultivating for the potential primary win, taking it into November. You need a lot of volunteers when you're running for the attorney general's office, right?
You do.
All right. Does your website have a lot of options out there for people to volunteer?
You can just click on one link, put your name in, and then we get back to you.
All righty. Are you doing a lot of parades?
We're doing some parades. Of course, there are many all over the state, so we're being strategic because you have to both do parades and do meet and greets. And so I think we have two or three coming up this weekend. We've done things like beanhole days and sweetheart days. So we are making certain that we're talking to as many Minnesotans as will talk to us, because ultimately, not only do we want to tell them what our message is, but we also want to hear what it is that they're concerned about.
And really, it's a lot of fun too. To a point, where are you going to be heading on after you're heading out a few days here? Where are you heading to in outstate Minnesota?
Yes, so we will be doing kind of all the way up to Moorhead. We'll be doing Duluth then the next day. But we'll be coming back because we're going to go to the funeral of the corrections officer that died here.
Well, if you have a chance, I mean, obviously you're going to be talking to a lot, as many people as you can out there, making your case on the DFL side. If you see she's coming to town, by all means, take some time and go out and find out, if, you know, put forward your ideas, what you'd like to see. She'll be more than happy to talk to you, as she has with us here as Democrat of the Day. Deborah Hillstrom, MN.com. Deborah Hillstrom, MN.com. All my best. Good luck in the Attorney General's DFL race here. And if we win, we move on to November. All my best there. Thank you very much for coming into studio.
Thanks so much for having me.
My pleasure.